Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Apparently Spotify is having some issues today. And you're experiencing it as well as we are. Because I was just on Spotify a minute ago, Sam, and it was working just fine.
And now it just played this song before we came onto the air.
Are you asking me to sing? Because I will.
It's One Night Love Affair
by Bryan Adams.
Ooh, don't know the lyrics to that one. But baby, you're all that I want when you're lying here in my arms. If you'd like to slow skate, we can make that happen.
Keep going.
I'm finding it hard to believe we're in heaven.
That's right.
It's a cheesier 80s song in the world than that one. I don't know what it would be.
No, there is not.
good afternoon. I enjoy this rejoin music that is silent.
Yes, you're welcome.
Try it again, because it's a great song.
No, the universe does not want our people to hear that song.
Okay.
Well, like, I hate to just start the show with like, ugh, but like, there's really only one thing we can talk about at the top of the show. My God, what happened with that plane?
So apparently this is in one of the largest cities in India. The name of the city escapes me at the moment. It's like Ahmedabad or something like that. Forgive me. But the airport is located inside the city. Think the Wheeler Airport in downtown Kansas City, right? So it's going from Ahmedabad or whatever the town is, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, so don't read me the riot act. And it's going to London. Most of the people on the plane are Indian. There are a number of British people on there, a couple of Portuguese, one Canadian. It barely gets off the ground.
So it was right after takeoff.
Right after takeoff. And all of a sudden, it just starts going down. And when it's going down in a big, giant city like that, I think it has 8 million people in it. The city, not the plane.
There is nowhere to safely land that plane.
No, there is not.
Yeah.
That's right.
It went down, we now know this, into what is a doctor's hostel.
Right.
And there are photos of investigators looking up, and through the building, the ceiling is exposed. You can see part of the plane through. It's just in the building. There's no other way to describe it.
So there were 242 people on board. 12 of them were crew. Two pilots and 10 crew members. The rest, obviously, passengers. But the death toll is now at 290. So a number of people on the ground were also killed. When the plane crashed. Amazingly, miraculously, there is one person on the plane who survived.
How?
I have no idea.
How?
He literally dug himself out of the wreckage and described it as, and I don't mean to be gruesome, just how he described it, there were bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
And was seen just walking down the street as people were running up to him with their cell phones out trying to say, like, what happened? And he's obviously in a daze.
In shock.
Yeah.
So he walked away.
He dug himself
in a daze
out of the wreckage, climbed out of the plane, and just started walking down the street.
Yeah. One survivor from the entire plane.
I don't, I, it's miraculous.
Oh, sure.
But you've heard of other situations where there is one left, and the guilt and the obviously just the trauma. We don't know if he was flying alone, Sam. Was he flying with family? I mean, I can't even imagine.
All we know is he's from London. That's it.
When was the last time we lost a passenger plane? A couple years?
No, it's been longer than that.
Well, D.C.
D.C.
Yeah. But in terms of one without it being some sort of catastrophic situation.
Without like a helicopter in your path?
I mean, just a plane going down like Malaysia Air or,
I think it was MH17, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we had the Boeing 787 MAX issue dropping out of the sky. Two of those dropped out of the sky. And
wasn't that MH17, though?
I don't believe so.
My God. So let's talk about Boeing. Their chief executive, Kelly Ortberg, is quoted as saying, "Our deepest condolences go out to the loved ones of the passengers and crew on board Air India Flight 171, as well as everyone affected in Ahmedabad. I've spoken with their air chair, offering our full support. A Boeing team stands ready to support the investigation, which will be led by India's Aircraft Accident Investigation Bureau."
Of course.
It was a 787 Dreamliner in India today. The MAXs crashed March of 2019 and December of 2020.
Same type of plane?
Those were MAXs. These are Dreamliners. A little bit different, but similar technology.
So, and I know it's late to ask. I wonder if Commander Reed would have any thoughts on this. When a plane is just taking off and then drops, because the other disasters were 30,000 feet. When was the last time we had a plane take off and just nosedive? What is that?
It's been a long time.
Is it overloaded? Is it, I think of the, there have been a handful of smaller planes.
It was likely a mechanical failure. So things happen where sensors mess up, and for whatever reason, maybe the trim was locked in the down position.
They don't know.
Nobody knows at this point, obviously. It just happened.
But I think the reason, and obviously there are going to be days and weeks to deconstruct what happened, but planes do not just fall out of the sky. They just don't. And I know that statistically the takeoffs and the landings are the most dangerous. But I don't remember the last time, Scott, we lost an entire aircraft,
right,
save for one, on a takeoff.
I'm looking it up right now, going to 2020.
I don't want to say it doesn't happen, but it is so rare for this to happen.
So there was a crash in January of 2023 of a Yeti Airlines flight in Nepal. All 72 people on board were killed. It's not necessarily uncommon.
It's
internationally. Uncommon nationally.
One of the folks that they have video of what looks like a surveillance camera. Have you seen this, Scott, of the plane taking off? I mean, it's gathering speed. It says this was captured on CCTV. It is a clear, catastrophic lack of lift seconds after liftoff.
It could be a situation where they had an issue with the fuel lines. Maybe the fuel was contaminated. It couldn't get power to the engines anymore. Because what we saw with the other mechanical failures that happened with the Boeing 787 MAX, and I don't remember what the official report was on that for what caused those planes to go down, but they were nosediving for some reason. Something mechanical was going wrong, it's safe to deduce.
The pilots couldn't correct.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is pilots are, and this is something we'd have to ask Commander Reed or maybe my friend Janae can weigh in on this. Pilots are trained right after takeoff to put that plane right back down. They're trained on that. They're trained on landing and going right back up.
Right.
And it appears, Scott, that plane gets to, I'm bad with height, but
probably 200, 300 feet.
It's just taken off. And then it starts to list a little bit, and it starts in a straight, appropriate fashion coming down. Does that just gently coming down like it's almost trying to land?
Right. Gliding. It glided down.
It's gliding down. It's not cockamamie. Yeah. It's gliding down, and then it just starts tilting as it's coming down. You start to see a little bit of tilt. And I don't.
Let me see the rest of it.
Yeah, it's. Describe what you're seeing here, Scott. So now it's taken off.
Okay, the plane is taking off. It looks very typical of a large plane taking off. We're about 10 seconds into the flight right now, probably 200 to 300 feet off the ground. All of a sudden, it just starts to hover. And by it's still moving forward, of course, but it's not gaining any altitude.
It's just hovering. That's a great word for it.
And now it's heading down, clearly heading down. We're about 20 seconds into the flight. It looks like it's making a landing, a typical landing.
But it's not nosediving?
No.
Not at all.
It's hovering is a perfect word for it.
A gigantic explosion. Wow.
I bet it was engine failure.
And how anybody survived that explosion defies logic. There was a man who walked away from this crash.
Unbelievable.
And when I say gigantic explosion, I mean the ball of flame goes 200 feet into the air.
Well, those wings are full of jet fuel. Textline says if you zoom in on the video, and I don't have the video up, so I don't know, you can see that the flaps aren't down. So you need the flaps down to gain altitude.
Yeah.
Which would indicate that there was probably some mechanical failure because pilots, especially a pilot of a Dreamliner, would know.
And you have to wonder if this was not in a city, if they were landing in a field.
Could you have just put the plane back down?
Right.
Jamie says it fell from 600 feet.
Okay. Then I'm as bad as you are at guessing altitude.
We're all just stunned because it's so unusual.
The landing gear never went up. It never goes up. So that's how quickly after takeoff this plane went down. They never even had time to put the wheels back up. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Another big hit from 1985. As you can hear, our Spotify is down. So just pretend you're listening to a big hit from 1985. Maybe it's, I don't know, Money for Nothing.
It's a classic.
It is a classic.
Bruce Springsteen, I don't know if we'll have time.
Maybe right now.
Mike in Concordia. Mike, hello.
Hey, guys. I was just wanting to give Dana and you guys an answer on if the guy was traveling with somebody. Jamie and Weir this morning said that the father was amazed that his son had survived, but he was concerned about his other son traveling with the guy that survived.
Oh,
they were in 11A, I think, and yes, the brother was further behind him. One of the things that the New York Times is reporting is that, you know, Scott and I were trying to describe what this plane looks like as it is, for lack of a better word, hovering. Mm-hmm. They talked to some experts in aviation who say while the plane looks like it is taking off with nose up, it is actually descending with nose up.
Correct.
And we were talking about this during the break. Obviously, whatever happened at the moment of takeoff is going to be communicated with air traffic control. I mean, I think they probably already know, not maybe exactly what happened to get us to this point, mm-hmm. but what was going on in the cockpit. They certainly would have said, as they were cleared for takeoff, as soon as that plane lifts, something went wrong. And it's possible, one of five or six explanations that were thrown out, it is possible even it a bird strike.
Maybe, but I was listening to one of the experts on CNN this morning who said bird strikes normally only affect one of the engines.
And it didn't on the Hudson.
Well, that's true. You're right. And the plane could have still kept altitude, gotten somewhere safer than flying into a five-story building, even if it only had one engine left. From the text line, I love your speculation on things we won't know for weeks. Are we not to report the news of the day?
The crash today has some similarity, look this up, Scott, to a 1987 crash of Northwest Airlines Flight 255. And this is reporting from the New York Times.
Northwest Airlines, which one?
It crashed in Michigan in 1987.
Give me the number again.
Flight 255, after the plane's pilots failed to extend the wing flaps and slats for takeoff. Sam, you and I were talking about this during the break. After lifting off, again, the pilots failed to extend the wing flaps and slats for takeoff. That plane rolled to the left, then right, then hit light poles and a rental car building before crashing, killing all but one person on board, killing several people on the ground. Despite some broad similarities, experts are cautioning that the Air India crash could have been from any number of causes. But that is eerily similar.
And they failed to check during the checklist that the flaps were working.
But Sam, you said this during the break. Like anyone that is...
You have made it to the point that you are flying a Boeing 787-8 Dreamliner internationally, you are a good enough pilot that you should know to put the flaps down.
Pilots, plural.
Yeah, correct. Unless, as Scott mentioned, whoever was in charge of checking that plane failed to check if the flaps were in working order.
The pilot had 8,200 hours of flight. That was reported earlier today. 8,200 hours. That is an experienced pilot.
Yeah.
Anyone would agree.
Did you hear a missing 12-year-old in Kansas City last seen driving a Toyota Tacoma has been found safe? I'm going to read that again.
Good choice in vehicles.
A missing 12-year-old last seen driving a Toyota Tacoma is found safe. This is from Channel 9. Kansas City police at the time were asking for the public's help, locating 12-year-old Colton Conchola. He was last seen around 4:30 yesterday afternoon in the 37 block of Northeast 43rd Street, driving a silver 2013 Toyota Tacoma. The only update that Channel 9 has at this point is that he has been found safe. And thank you to everyone who shared helpful information.
When I was 12 years old, if you put me behind the wheel of a car, I would have had no idea what to do. No idea.
Okay, I'm going to ask, because I do believe this is a specifically male type of incident. I mean, I think if I ask my brother, did you ever take dad's car for a joyride when you were 12 or 13? I think the answer would be yes.
How would he do it without dad knowing?
Well, back then, the keys were on the counter.
And dad was in the house.
Like, I don't know what was going on in this situation, but for a 12-year-old to be driving, and I think they said he was 87 pounds. I mean, 12. You know,
Could you have driven a car at 12?
No.
Would you have a clue?
I wouldn't have been able to touch the pedals.
Well, that notwithstanding, would you know how to drive a car?
Yes,
to put the brake down
It
in reverse.
I think generally, you know, say it another way. You know how to steer a car. I don't know that you know how to drive a car.
Okay. I wouldn't know to put my foot on the brake to get it in reverse and then put it back on the brake to get it into drive.
Did you guys not watch your parents drive?
That's how I learned, watching them. And then, you know, as you get to be 12, 13 years old, you start to ask questions like, what does that do? What are you doing here? What are you doing there?
Oh, I remember at a very young age asking my dad why he manipulated the wheel left to right while we were going straight. I mean, I asked these questions at 5, 6, 7 just because I wanted to know. I definitely could have driven a car at 12.
He manipulated the wheel left to right while he was going straight?
Yeah, you know, you'd stay in the lane. You get wind. You hit a curve in the road.
Okay. And no, I did not pay attention to how my parents drove.
Did you ever take your parents' car, Sam, without permission? Like at a very young age?
I did not take my parents' car without permission. I may have been in a car that was taken without permission.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
What time of the day was this, Sam?
It was not light out.
Was it 2 a.m?
You know, I can't remember the exact time on the clock, officer, but it was not light out.
Huh. Did your friend call you and say, meet me out front? I'll be there in 2 minutes.
There may or may not have been a plan in place prior to the sun going down, officer. But
when we get back.
You took your parents' car.
I most certainly did not.
What about dad putting his hand on the hood?
That was after
hood?
Curfew.
That was my own car after curfew, and I was like 16.
All right.
There's a big difference between 12 and when do you first get your learner's permit? 14?
15.
Now that we're all older, that seems way too young for anyone to be out there driving. But 12 years old is way too young. And we did reach out to the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department to see if they could share any more information about exactly why this child was out roaming around missing in a car. When we get back, there is a sad update to the 81-year-old missing woman from Overland Park. We will tell you where they found her and have that conversation straight ahead as well.
Speaking of aviation, a 35-year-old man who falsely claimed to be a flight attendant for 6 years to book more than 120 free flights was convicted by a federal jury on Tuesday of this week.
No.
Yes, in Florida.
6 years he got away with this.
In Florida. Between 2018 and 2024, Tyron Alexander posed as a flight attendant for multiple major U.S. airlines, accessing the websites reserved for flight crews to book free flights using their employee benefits. So he wasn't getting on ready to serve.
He was in the jump seat.
Right.
The free seat.
Correct. Alexander is being charged with wire fraud and entering into a secure area of an airport by false pretenses.
Did he have the code of an active flight attendant? I'm confused. And also, what did he say to his coworkers who were like, who are you? Well, I'm Jim. You don't remember me?
They don't all know each other, I would assume, right?
Over time, you would meet most of them. Over how many years?
It was over 6 years.
Yeah.
By the way, he was never a flight attendant or a pilot, ever. He'll be sentenced in August. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab.
Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
All right, from the text line, this is not male-specific. Our 12-year-old daughter drove her mother's car through the garage door, obviously wrecked the car, totaled the garage, and hit my motorcycle.
Was she okay? The texter did not mention the condition of the daughter.
No, did not mention whether her daughter was okay or not.
Mm-hmm. Motorcycle was mentioned.
And the garage door was trashed. They have found, sadly, an 81-year-old woman from Overland Park, Jerry McConnell, who had been missing. A silver alert was issued for Jerry on May 17th. Her unoccupied vehicle was found May 20th on private property in a rural area. The discovery of the car came amid intensive search operations, which continued until her remains were found on June 11th. She was found in Cowley County. I don't even know where that is.
That is the county directly south and east of Wichita.
Wow.
The family says, we would like to express our sincere gratitude to all of those who contributed their time, resources, and support to locate her. And listen to this line, Scott. Unless you have personally experienced such an unfathomable situation, you cannot comprehend the enormous effort such an operation entails. It's a sad ending, and I will say one that I think we feared was probably going to be. Mm-hmm.
When they found her car unoccupied.
Yeah, it breaks my heart. But from time to time, Scott, we see these stories around here. Well, we see the silver alerts all the time.
Is there any indication that she might have had dementia or something?
Was early stages, I believe, Sam.
I do not remember seeing that.
This story doesn't say.
Yeah.
God bless her and God bless the family. That's tough. We are following reports that Israel is apparently planning some sort of military action against Iran in the next couple of days. This is according to sources who spoke with ABC News. The president earlier today in a 1 hour and 20 minute speech/news conference did not deny it. The sources were not aware of a specific U.S. role in any Israeli strike on Iran, though it is possible the U.S. could play a logistical role, share intelligence with Israel that could be used for such a strike. The U.S. currently has planned nuclear talks with Iranian officials this weekend. Iranian president, name I can't pronounce, said today that his country will continue to enrich uranium and vowed to rebuild facilities should they be destroyed by Israel. We'll continue to follow that. Charity Lockhart earned a rare golden buzzer on America's Got Talent after initially being stopped by Simon Cowell.
Well, I am 49 years old, going on 50 this year.
Right, Charity, what is your story? Why are you here?
Well, I absolutely love to sing. I love music, but I also love my children. When my kids were younger, we ended up living in a car after a divorce. And all I had was my voice. And so I went to clubs and I went to bars and I asked live bands if I can sing with them. And they would give me a little money at the end of the night. So I entered vocal competitions, not this big. And we won a monetary award, and that gave us our first apartment. So we got our first apartment.
So she tells this story, and she starts the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And she gets about three lines in, and Simon Cowell stops her and says, you know what? I want this to work for you, but I'm not feeling this. Mm-hmm. Do you have another song? And then Sam, play what happens. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. Play what happens next.
To get back onward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty tall, do not cry.
my gosh. Did you watch this live?
I did not watch this part live, no. This may have been after we went to bed. Well, she's got a beautiful voice.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
it's a beautiful voice.
There's a reason I wanted to talk about this story.
Because America's Got Talent is totally framed and rigged?
No. Well, Sam did say out in the newsroom, how did the piano player know just to launch into another song after she started?
So,
and I said, okay, don't look too much into this. I got goosebumps when she sang that song.
So did I.
They hit the golden buzzer. She's going straight to the finals, and she should. She is an incredible talent.
She started singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and it started out pretty good.
It was
and
fine.
Immediately it got really bad. And then Simon Cowell stops her and says, do you have another song? And she goes, I don't know. And then they...
Let me just dig into my bag of right. tricks over here.
They have the back and forth. And then he goes, come on, give us another song. And then the piano starts immediately. How did the pianist,
okay.
or however you say it, know to play that song?
Pianist.
With respect, I am not here to poo-poo that show because it's positive.
It is positive. I love that show.
It is a family show.
Mm-hmm.
I cry and get goosebumps every time they hit that golden buzzer.
Oh, I do too.
Here's why I want to talk about it. A good friend of mine the other day mentioned to me that they are close with someone who has an incredible voice and has tried out multiple times on America's Got Talent and always gets noticed because their voice is so incredible. You know what my friend said to me, why she's never been chosen?
What?
Not because of her voice.
Her looks?
Nope, not because of her looks.
Her weight?
Nope.
She was never homeless.
No backstory.
There is no backstory. And we got into a really interesting conversation about this. There are deserving artists or students or people all around us who have worked hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have the... either academic wherewithal or the pipes or the talent, whatever you want to make it about, to go so far in life, but who don't happen to have that peg, that backstory, that reel you in for ratings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in one or two cases on these shows, they've actually found people who have gone pretty far and who lied. And they didn't lie, I mean, honestly, because they weren't talented, they were talented. They lied because they knew without the backstory, you're only going to get so far.
Yeah, okay.
And that, to me, is the topic. And we can make this about anything. It doesn't have to be America's Got Talent. I have long said in the college application process, it drove me nuts that one of the questions, even K-State and KU at the time, I don't know that they're still doing it, but at the time, was describe some
trauma.
Or difficult situation.
I had to do the hardship essay for every single scholarship application.
But Sam, and you worked so hard and dug so hard and got lifted yourself up in all of those things. But there are also incredibly deserving students or performers out there who don't happen to have the backstory of car wreck, cancer, homelessness. And I'm not diminishing the incredible talent that she is that got her to this point, or any of the kids who get the scholarships because they have that. But I think it's almost, especially with the essay and the college application and the scholarships, what if you have an incredibly deserving student who just grew up living a pretty normal life?
Normal middle-class life in name your local suburb, Liberty,
yes.
New Summit, Overland Park. Here's the deal. When it comes to these reality shows or game shows in particular, there are people they are looking for. You remember when you went to The Price is Right?
Yeah.
They sent interns out to interview every single person with a ticket. And what they were looking for, they're looking for one of two things at The Price is Right. And tell me if you think I'm wrong. Bubbly personality.
Yes.
I mean, if you go, yeah, I'm from Shawnee, Kansas, I'm 53, and I went to KU. I'm not getting called down. But if you're like, yeah, I went to live in Shawnee. Right. I'm so excited to be here. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. This is like a dream come true. It's a bucket list. You definitely have a chance to get called down. If you wear a military uniform to The Price is Right,
yep.
you're coming down.
All of that is true.
On Wheel of Fortune, start watching this. There is never a night where it is not a mixed race panel.
Sure.
Every single night. So
they want equal representation.
Well, yes, that's right. But you'll never see, you know, two black people and one white person. You'll never see three white people.
But on those shows, Scott, they are not asking you, in order to solve the puzzle, tell me about a traumatic experience that you've overcome. And the New York Times did an article on this several years ago called, and I quote, "When I applied to school, quote, I didn't want to sell my pain." And it's a fantastic article because that's what they're looking for. It doesn't mean she's any more or less talented. She's an incredible talent without the backstory.
No backstory, no ticket. 913-586-7798. Candace and the others, hang tight. We'll get with all of you in just a moment. 913-586-7798. All right, let's go to Candace in Mission. Candace, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi. So, just such a weird thing. I'm going to have to be vague because I don't want to get in trouble.
Sure.
I don't think anyone would care, but just in case. So, the only specific I want to give is it was back in 2007. There was a televised competition program developed, produced, and featured a person that if I said this person's name, everybody on the planet would know this person's name. And I have a good friend who was on that televised. He didn't just go and apply. He actually got on the TV show. And so just for fun, we were watching it. You know, I didn't know him back then. So he was like, hey, watch the show I was on. And so we were watching it. And there was a person who had a very significant backstory. And he said to me, that's the person they chose to win. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, we all knew going in that she was supposed to win it, but we didn't care because like they were all performers. They wanted the exposure, right? They're being told they're going to be on TV. So, but the person who was chosen to win it couldn't fulfill, I don't know all the details, but she couldn't finish and she got kicked off the show and it was my friend who actually won it.
Isn't that illegal though? There was a movie in the 90s called Quiz Show.
But that,
I mean,
that was
if the people involved know, I mean, don't we all kind of know to what we've been talking about that we watch these quote reality shows? They're scripted reality. So I don't know. But it was back in 2007 in the Wild Wild West before even had iPhones. Who knows what they did back then?
Was it Survivor?
No. Oh, no. No, it wasn't Survivor.
We will not ask Candace because I don't want to, you know, put you in a position where you're giving away too much information. But a quiz show was different, to be clear, because they were giving the contestants the answers.
But that's also how you would pre-select someone to win the game if it's a quiz show.
By the way, if you've not watched that movie with Ralph Fiennes, it is one of the greatest movies ever made.
It was about NBC's 21.
We watched it about 3 months ago. We were flipping around. I said, have you ever seen Quiz Show? God, it's good.
Now, I haven't seen it since it came out in the 90s. Didn't people go to prison for that?
I do not believe anyone was ever charged. And it was one of the biggest scandals because they were giving, they would pre-select a contestant they knew would play well on TV, and then they were giving him the answers.
Hmm. So Sam asked me during the commercial break, because I happen to be good friends with a gal named Danny Boatwright, who won Survivor Guatemala years ago. I believe it was season 5 of Survivor or something like that. Sam asked me, did she ever give you the impression that the contestants on that show are pre-selected to win? And she has not. In fact, she stands by and always has stood by the integrity of that show.
Sure.
And yes, she won season 5 or 6, whatever it was. It was Guatemala. I know that. But several years ago, she was invited back for the Survivor All-Stars competition. And if I'm not mistaken, she was the first one voted off.
When you talk about the sell your pain on the college end of things, this great op-ed that was in the New York Times, she writes, I spoke to a friend about her application to NYU. She wrote about experiencing homelessness at one point in her life, and I asked her how she felt to write about that, and she said it was difficult to write and rather forced. I had an interesting experience rereading it after I graduated because I had sort of programmed myself to think of myself as less than. Her application described her poverty, living briefly in a shelter. I asked why she wrote about it, and she said, quote, because I had to get into school, and all of my advisors emphasized, sell your pain.
I don't ever recall having to write one of these papers to get into Nebraska or KU, or I applied to Oklahoma and was accepted but didn't go. Do you recall that? To KU having to write a...
No, because I think back then, if you grew up in the state of Kansas, you could get in. It's not, it's not as competitive as it is now. And flip it on its head. The people they interviewed for this article weren't saying, yeah, this is why I got in. They said it made me feel worse about myself because I felt like I got in because I was inferior. Like it jacked with my mind.
So I spoke to my counselor about this at the time and was like, my life's been pretty okay. What do I do here? Mm-hmm. And they basically told me, dig. And I found quite a few things that I could turn into hardships, and I wrote about them.
Yeah.
Huh. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.